I am now joined by a couple of representatives from our National Air Traffic Controllers Association. I have to be so careful to say that in the right order. And we've got Leanne Martin with Kalamazoo. And you do tower and approach
that
control.
That is correct.
And Dave Osteen. Osteen or Osteen?
Osteen.
Osteen. And you're at Oak City.
Oklahoma City approach and tower.
All right. And then there's a lot going on there because you've got your training grounds there as
well.
Yeah,
we got the FAA Academy right across the airport. And so every controller's been through there.
Right.
At one time.
Right, at one time or another. So, and you guys have, you're kind of veterans to the whole Oshkosh thing. You've been coming here for a while.
This is my second year.
Okay.
And
I've been here this is my third year representing NACA.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And has it only been that long that I've been talking to you guys?
I believe that is correct.
Wow. I guess I'm starting to get my years stacked on top of each other. So what kind of stuff do you guys do when you come here? As National Air Traffic Controllers Association, what's that presence here all about?
Our number one agenda is to open up the communications between the general aviation pilot and the controller so that they can come and actually put a face to a voice and also ask a lot of the questions that they can't normally ask over the frequency.
Right, when you're traveling at cruise speed and it's probably not a good idea to converse too much. So
chatter.
Right, exactly.
We've had a couple forums, and
what are those about?
Well, we like to open those up at the end, usually about VFR flight and flight following. There's a lot of questions that come out from the pilots, and at the end we open up to questions. Usually, by the time our forum is done, there are still about 20 hands raised, and we step out of the forum, and those questions just continue.
So obviously people have a lot of information that they're using this opportunity to try and get.
This is an avenue for the pilots to talk to a controller, ask questions that they're afraid of. You know, they don't have they do have an avenue, but it's a difficult avenue, you know, to call a facility and arrange, and usually you're talking to management. This is controllers talking to pilots.
Yeah, that disembodied voice for some reason can kind of be intimidating to people, especially new pilots. And then when they can see your friendly, smiling faces, then they can ask a lot more questions. Is there anything off the top of your heads that you can think of that is kind of like the top 10 questions asked or something?
A lot was VFR flight following, I mean, is what I got. Now, you know, when to start it, when does it terminate, just all kinds of questions about VFR flight following. So
what about questions that people don't ask that you'd like them to know something about?
I'd like to answer that. The number one thing that I, not the number one, but at least for me, I would like to tell the pilots, don't keep a secret. If you have a question for us, don't be afraid to ask us over the frequency and tell us what's going on.
Especially if you're unsure. It's better for you to ask than mess up.
Right. And the consequences can be pretty dire, so I can imagine why information would be good.
It's okay to tell us that you're a student pilot. We would like to know that so that we'll keep an extra special eye on you, especially when you're traveling around the airport, taxiing around the airport. There's a lot more instructions with the progressive taxis now, and it becomes very confusing sometimes to the pilot. So please don't be afraid to ask us again if we talk too fast.
Do you think anybody ever uses that as an excuse after they kind of mess up a little bit? Oh, I'm a student pilot.
Sure, and that's okay.
It gives a little cover there.
Have you?
Have I? Yeah. No. When I was a student pilot, actually, my last call in, I was like, "Oh yeah, and I'm a student pilot." So, but I hadn't messed up at that point.
Can we use student controller?
Yeah. Okay, that would be good.
So I know you in the past have done things about what is the top 10 pilot mistakes.
We've done several top 10 pilot mistakes, top 10 questions. I did controller pet peeves for just little things that bug us that pilots could do a little better to help us out.
Anything that you can think of off those lists that stands out in particular?
Rambling on the frequency. Who you are, where you are.
What you want.
And I find that very interesting that from the beginning of your training, you learn that, isn't that correct? And it's still, you know, is a problem for us.
You know, that's interesting that you say that. I was just talking to someone about that yesterday in the flight training process. The whole idea of communications is very intimidating to people. And I cut my teeth in Van Nuys, which is, you know, one of the busiest in chatter. And people get so hung up on the terminology, getting the terminology right, that they forget or they don't really put together the crucial content that's necessary.
You hear a lot of 10-4.
You know, I mean, if you end up not remembering the exact terms, it's still better to get that who you are, where you are, and what you want across. So I don't know if there's something we can do in training to kind of push that more than, you know, all of the strict, you know, this is how you call in, this is make sure you say niner instead of, you know, and that's great, but if you don't have the basics conveyed, then
but when you have all them uncontrolled airports and a lot of training goes on at uncontrolled airports, they don't get that training. So when they get into a terminal environment, approach control, this and that, they're lost with words.
Yeah.
So how you transition, I don't know what the best training would be, but there needs to be something for them to learn on.
And how do you pull that information out of a pilot that's not quite giving you what you need without falling into chatter?
Sometimes you have to fall into chatter to get what you need. And it takes away from a lot of other stuff that needs to be done. But, you know, it's all about training. It's all about learning.
So, now, is every controller a member of the National Air Traffic Controllers Association?
No.
We have an open union, which means it's your choice on whether or not you want to join. However, we have a very large membership. Percentage?
I gotta say 95. I'm just roughly guessing. I don't have the numbers. But I would guess probably 95. Plus, we represent other aviation areas like the engineers.
The architects.
Architects. And a bunch of others that we've brought into our union.
And now, do you guys fly?
I do not.
You do not?
I do not.
Have you done any flying? Lessons, a couple hours in the plane?
I got 25 hours.
You got 25 hours. What would you say is the percentage of the pilots or controllers that are pilots?
Nowadays, since they're going through CTI programs, there's a lot more pilot controllers that are coming into the system. As far as the veterans, I've been doing this for 21 years, there wasn't that many. So I think with the CTI programs, they have more of a knowledge of what an airplane does.
So is that aeronautical knowledge a benefit then in the controller environment, or is it just a nice bonus?
I think it's a bonus. Because you still have you got to have the mentality to work
CTI
airplanes.
Stands for College Training Initiative, meaning that the newer generation of controller to be hired has to go to college and get a degree, and part of that degree is some basic piloting skills.
Similar requirement for pilots. I mean, a lot of places before you get hired, you have to have a degree as well as.
But see, when I got in, you didn't have to have a degree, and I don't have a degree. So, but I do have a little pilot training. You know, it helps me. And back then, we had a FAM program, which we were able to. It's familiarization, be able to sit in the cockpit, learn the other side, and that was very beneficial.
Well, they encourage that in the pilot side of things. At least my flight instructor did. You know, go visit a tower. Go visit. And maybe that's something that would be advice for all pilots. If that's
most definitely.
Visit towers. Come visit the TRACONs. Come visit the centers. And see what it's all about. See how it works.
Yeah, it's very beneficial for both of us.
Especially if you go and visit your home facility that you fly out in and out of, you'll also learn some of the techniques that facility and that personality of that facility, and that's the time that you can ask all those questions.
Or the traps, you know, shouldn't fly here because of this, and why do I always get this crossing restriction?
Right.
And I mean, it opens up the mind as far as seeing it visually.
And you get a bigger picture, you know, and they'd like to talk about situation awareness and all that kind of stuff. You have a little bit of bigger picture of what all the participants in the system are doing. So you guys completely welcome that. What does someone do if they want to come check out a facility?
Well,
these days you can't just walk up and knock on the door and come in. So what's the
in your phone book? There's going to be federal offices, and you just look up the tower. The number's posted in there.
And the approach, the TRACONs, the approach facilities, and the centers. A little bit more of a
I don't know about
process.
Centers, but the towers, combined TRACONs, there'll be one number, and most of them are upstairs, downstairs. You get a tour of both.
Now, are towers and TRACONs largely combined at this point?
For the most part, smaller.
In the smaller areas?
Yeah.
The regions? And how many are there now, the center? There's been a lot of restructuring in the last couple of years.
Well, the last few years, I should say. They have the super TRACONs, you know, Southern Cal, okay. NorCal, Potomac. They've combined a lot of TRACONs that way. But in the Midwest, I mean, we got Oklahoma has two TRACONs and two towers because we only got two major airports.
Wiley Post,
we work the airplanes in and out of Wiley Post. Actually, we got four towered airports within a 10-mile ring, but we're the major approach control for all of them surrounding airports.
And what about here on the field? If anybody wants to take advantage of you guys being here, where can they find you?
We're in the NACA booth, just below the tower, in between the
Good
runway
location.
And the tower. And booth 460.
Oh, that's the official booth. On the map?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, is there anything else that you guys wanted to make sure to get out there while you've got the ear?
The reauthorization. Most everybody's aware that Congress hasn't passed or extended the reauthorization, which...
It's a big issue.
It is a very big issue, and we're trying to get help with the public. We've got a computer set up. They can stop by, and we'll set them up, send letters to their congressional members, and try to get this pushed, because we've got 4,000 FAA employees that are furloughed.
Yeah.
Plus all construction, any improvements are all funded by the FAA out of a trust fund that's gone.
Yeah.
So all them contractors have lost their jobs.
Yes.
Pilots may think, how does this affect me? Well, non-essential personnel are furloughed. And
non-essential.
Non-essential, yeah. Meaning, say you got a...
Anything that's not operations, anything that doesn't fall under the moniker of operations.
That's correct. And say you got a flight physical next month, or your physical expires. Well, the people that process that are going to be furloughed. So you may not be able to fly.
It's going to take a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to take a while to push that through.
So we're, that's...
And I know there's discussions of user fees again that are coming up, so...
We're not getting the airline taxes. When you fly an airline, you got to pay $2, $3, whatever it is. That was all collected for this trust fund that we operated out of. And that's no longer the case. So that money's got to come from somewhere. And that may or may not push it towards what you just said,
user fees. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time. But I know 15 minutes goes fast
in
this place.
Yes, it does.
But you've been listening to Leanne Martin with Kalamazoo and Dave Osteen in Oklahoma City, representatives here of the National Air Traffic Controllers Association. Thank you very much for coming in and taking your time to share some of this with us.